texted me on Friday and told me he was going to have to work yesterday on Saturday, and he couldn't come home for the weekend. He was in the stay through because I wanted him the job done by a certain time next week. And he's talked to his boss and tried to get moved from install in this fire system, fire protection system that he does. Tried to get moved from install to service, the service department, to service, go around and service the ones that's already installed. And he's so good and has learned so much about the install, the boss don't want to let him move over to the other one because they've had trouble keeping dependable workers. Workers just keep quitting. Will's had workers quit on him and walk off in the middle of a job and leave him by himself. So, you know, you can understand from the boss's point of view, you know. But it's Will's really troubled by it because he doesn't want to be out of church and be away from family and things. And so we just ask you to pray with us. The Lord will open up a door to where he'll be able to be home more frequent. Amen. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Father. And Lord, you know those that had to be out of town, Father, where it was for work or Brother Phil, Lord, being out of town. God, be with them. God, keep them. Lord, watch over them. Bring them back home safe. Bless them where they are. And I pray for Will this morning, dear God, that you'll, Father, work something out, Lord, for him, dear God, in this with his job, Lord. And where he can come and be in the house of the Lord regularly, Father, and be able to fellowship with the believers and his family, Lord. And I pray for your guidance now on the service, dear God, that you will be with us, dear God, and that you will lead us through this thought that you've placed on our heart. We pray now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to continue speaking on being certain. And let's just read. I want to read two verses of scripture here. I mean, everybody's really familiar with Hebrews 11. And we've, the last couple of services, we've actually touched on Abraham a couple of times in this. So you're familiar with those verses. And there was actually some services we actually preached on faith before and used this scripture, but let's read now. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen to that now. It's the evidence of things you do not see. And as being humans, that's our problem sometimes because we always want to see everything. Now look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. You may be seated. Now, you know, we've been speaking on being certain. And it's something that all of us in our lives, you know, everything we face, we make a decision. We've got to make a decision or something that has happened. We want to be certain as Christians that we're, y'all can be seated, Brother Paul. You want to be certain that we're in God's will, that God's in control of it, Lord. You know, our problem many times is letting go of the control ourselves. We want to have control, you know. And, you know, it's like Brother Branham gives an example about something about a person that was driving a horse and buggy and said something about they were trusting God until the reins broke. And Brother Branham said, no, that's not the way you should do it. He said, look, when the reins break, that's when you got to trust God. You know, when you got the reins in your hands, you're actually trusting yourself. And you know, that's kind of a thing of human nature. We kind of like to have things figured out. We kind of like to be, that way we feel like we're sure of what's going on. But that's not how faith works. And as we just read, without faith, you can't please God. Now, I read this quote last Sunday, but I want to refer to this today because I want to speak to you a little something here for just a few moments before I actually get into this sermon. Brother Branham says here in Be Certain of God, he said, "We do not come to the house of the Lord to be seen or to see, but to learn of thee and know thy nature and thy way and thy causes, that we may be able to face the problems of life with real assurance, being certain of God." So we know we come here to learn of the Lord, to learn of his ways, you know. And we realize that, look, friends, what is the Word of God coming to us all about? It's preparing us for what God has ahead of us, you know. But God gives us instructions to, you know, we're on a journey from here until the time we leave this earth, you know. And so God's given us instructions on how to get from here to that place, you know. And we know he's going to be the one that actually takes us. But now, Brother Branham also says this in the message of Be Certain of God. He says, "If the preacher preaches the word and the man receives it and believes it and acts upon it, then something's got to happen." He says, and then he talks about, well, we'll get to the story I want to cover today. He talks about Elijah then being told to go down there was a widow woman that God had prepared to take care of him. And he said Elijah didn't know where he was going, but that didn't make a difference. He just obeyed God's word and went. He didn't know what God was going to do or how God was going to take care of it. Now, one of the things that's been kind of on my heart and my mind is why it seems sometimes that we as humans, we have trouble actually accepting things that's said. Even instructions is given to us sometimes in life, you know. Of course, we can see that in children, and children sometimes, you know, it's other things involved why they don't always hear everything through. Sometimes they're so excited to do what you say, they don't hear you say what they actually supposed to go do. They take off and get to where they're supposed to go get something for you. They get there and don't even know what you sent them for. But that's just a child thing sometimes, that excitement, you know. Teenagers, we know sometimes they get that age where they start thinking all of a sudden they know things. And sometimes it's just being rebellious. But I think, you know, what about as adults? Why is it seem like sometimes as adults that we have a tendency to, when we're been given instructions, that we don't always want to change and follow them, especially when it comes to hearing the word of God. Now, Brother Branham makes this statement again in Be Certain of God. He said, look, there's sometimes, he says, where you've met God's requirements and God still remains silent. And then Brother Branham, you know, of course, in this message, he goes to expound upon that. But he makes this statement. He says, I'm sure I'm speaking to people this morning who's come to that place. I've been there many times myself. Now, the reason I focus on this quote just for a moment is because, look, friends, we realize that when God calls a man to preach, that God's got to give the man the words to say. But I want you to know this. God takes that man, you can see it all through the scriptures, that God takes his man and God throws him right smack dab in the middle of situations that he's got to experience. Brother Branham's, why is he making this statement to the people? I've been there many times myself. Brother Branham's saying, look, I'm not just reading something off to you here. I'm talking to you because I've been through it. I've tested this. I have proven this to be true, and I'm passing it on to you. And so God, many times he takes his ministers through things and has them experience it so that they can actually relay that. You know, it's not just like reading off some kind of something out of a book, you know, and you really got no, you're not in touch with it, you know. God actually, you know, the man, Brother Aaron said, look, I've been there many times myself. And, you know, this is the thing that we've got to remember. Jesus warned us, and he told us that when the word of God is sown, that Satan is going to immediately try to snatch that away. And he tells that in a parable. It's found in Matthew and also in Mark. But he says that when the word's sown and people have heard it, he says Satan will cometh immediately and try to take away the word that was sown into their hearts. Now, how is Satan able to do this with a believer? Now, we can understand how Satan can snatch us away, those that are on the wayside, those that aren't, they really don't believe anyway or not. But how does Satan do that with the believer? Well, many times it's sometimes getting you distracted when you come into church, of course. Just like I talked about little children being distracted when you're trying to tell them something. And Satan tries to get your mind on something else. And so the thing we need to do, we realize, brother, and say, we're coming here to church not to see or be seen, but we're coming here to hear the voice of God and get instructions, learn his ways, learn his causes, and learn of him. And so we need to get ourselves in that frame of mind. And say, how do I do that? Through your approach, prayer, coming to service, you know. And we can come with that prayer because we know why we're coming here. And the thing you've got to realize is, friends, there's a supernatural element here that the man standing here, he doesn't have to know what's been going on directly in your life this week. God knows. So, Brother Aaron said, you can actually pull on God to come and speak and give the answer. Now, the thing is, Paul tells Timothy, he says, as a pastor, giving him instructions as a pastor, he says, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. And so Paul is instructing him as a preacher, preach the word, exhort, rebuke, give instruction. But he also warns Timothy and says, look, but there's coming a time, he says, when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this, because the Bible says heap to themselves, they will accumulate to themselves teachers who will suit their own passions. In other words, tell them what they want to hear. I am not here this morning to tell you what you want to hear. God doesn't come down here to tell you what you want to hear. That is actually, if you look at it, the whole problem with this world today and why they won't receive the word of God. I was doing a little study and reading online and kind of looking up a few things, I read this story, an incident about a pastor. His congregation, he felt like he had members that weren't really agreeing with what was being preached or saying that, and he became hesitant about covering certain things with the word of God. And so he had to cover some things that had to do with some of the things that's going on in the world today. You know, this whole thing about gender identities and homosexuality and all these different things and that. And so the preacher, feeling reluctant, here's the statement he makes. He said, I wish the Bible didn't say it this way, but it does, so I got to tell you. Well, here's the thing. That's not how I feel. And it isn't how you should feel. We should want to hear what God's got to say. Now, why is it many times that we can hear something and not change? Because many times as humans, we get in a rut. This is the way I've always done it. And we become many times comfortable with being in a rut that we ought to have a desire to get out of. Brother Ram talks about, I believe it's a crow that he talks about, that had a chain attached to its leg. And he said people would come by to us and they'd see this crow and all that, you know. And then the crow couldn't take off. It couldn't fly because it had this chain onto its leg. He said, but then they took that chain off the leg and the crow still stayed there. You know what it was, the crow had got so used to being so bound down that he wouldn't accept the change of being free from the chain that held him down. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. The chains that are holding us down are made by the devil. But I'm telling you this morning, there's one here this morning that is a chain breaker. And he can break those chains and set you free if you will just believe and accept it. Be willing to go into the unknown. Quit being motivated by fear of not knowing. And quit being bound down because that, well, this is how we've always done it. Well, that's just the way my family is. I want to tell you something, friends. I don't care how I've always done it or how you've always done it or how our families have always done it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And the best thing you can do is change according to the word of God. Amen. Now, how many wants to be free this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. How do we listen well? By allowing the word to challenge us and be willing to change. Amen. Now, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. When I actually put these notes together, I knew I was on a series here, so many of these things, the scriptures and different things, I had them down from the first time I sat down and began to study, and I just keep shoving them forward until God brings them back to me. And so I had this down, and I was actually going to start with this, but I just had this burning on my heart ever since yesterday, and why I wanted to tell you what I just said. But now let's look at this story that we can get this example from the word on how to be certain. 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of God Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, give thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that it is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith that was before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Wait a minute. Why? God sent him there. Why would the brook dry up? God said, okay, I've give you a test. If you will go and trust me that ravens are going to do this for you. That seems absurd to trust that birds are going to come down and bring you bread and flesh. But he said, you said it, God, so I believe it, and I'm going to drink of this brook. Then the brook dries up. Wait a minute, God. Why'd you let the brook dry up? You sent me down here. God said, it's not done yet. Hallelujah. And so the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which is belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, Elijah, I was testing you to see if you would believe me that ravens was able to do this. But now I've got more than just you. I've got more children. So now I got to send you down to another child of mine because I got something I got to do with her. And you are going to be the one I'm going to use. Hallelujah. Sometimes it ain't all about us. Hallelujah. So he rose and went down to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now look at what her thought was. I've got enough for one cake. We're going to eat that. And we ain't got nothing left. So I know we're going to die. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Now notice what the first thing he goes to, fear not. Deals with fear. That's our biggest enemy. That's what Satan uses on us. Go do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Hold on, she just told this guy she only has enough for one cake to begin with. But see, he knows something that she doesn't yet know. Make me one first. He didn't say, make me one, forget about you. Make me one first. That ought to tell you, he knows something here. Make me a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thee and thy son. So he's like, no, look, there's going to be enough for you, and you're going to go back, and you're going to be able to make another cake. And he said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that God sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now in the message of Be Certain of God, Brother Branham talks about, and he said, she made the cake and she gave it to the prophet. And she went back to make some for her son and herself, and they ate and drank with plenty upon the earth. Where did it come from? How did he get in there? Scientifically tell me where that meal come from. Where did that oil come from? How did it get in that cruse? Now, many times we want to believe that if God's going to take care of us, that in an instance maybe like this, we would think, well, we're going to go over there, and because God's promised it'll never run dry, it'll never be empty, we're going to go over there, it's going to be a full barrel of meal and a full cruse of oil all the time. That's not how it was. Brother Branham said, she poured it dry every morning. Woo! Every morning, last drop of oil. No more in there. She could take it over and drop it over there, still no more. She could stand there and hold that thing upside down all day long, still no more. But when she set it down and went and picked it up the next morning, there was more. But every day, he said, she poured it dry, and she emptied the meal barrel every morning, and it was dry. So every time she went to make a cake, she was scraping the bottom. You sisters that know about baking and things like that, you know when you've got down to where you think you've got all the ingredients you need to make whatever that is you're getting ready to make, and you're like, oh, I ain't got quite enough. I don't feel like going to the store right now. Let me see if I can scrape up enough. You scrape it out of there. Then you take and you set your measuring cup down and you dump the rest of it out to try to fill it. Say, yep, got just enough. She done it every day. And every day it was empty when she got done. But the next day when she went, she had to do the exact same thing over again. Scrape it out, dump the rest in, and that was the end of it for that day. I want you to know something about faith. Faith isn't a one-off. You don't just get a test and God says, okay, you passed it, that's it. You never have to do this again. You believe me, you proved you believe me, so now the meal barrel's going to be topped off every day and the cruse is going to be full every day. No, trusting God, faith is a walk. what we read there in Hebrews 11, it talks about Enoch. It said he walked with God, and then he was not. Faith is a walk. It is a way of life. Now, let me explain that. Scraping the barrel every day is a way of life. Putting the last drop by the crucible oil every day is a way of faith. That's just the way God operates. Why, you say? Because, friends, he wants you to trust in him. And that's why he doesn't always tell us everything. That's why many times when we're in the middle of situations and we're facing something or whatever, we can't get it figured out. And God won't come down and say, look, I'm going to lay out 10 steps here for you so that you can see how I'm going to accomplish all this. Brother Branham actually makes a statement. He says, God doesn't always tell his man everything. He just wants you to take him at his word. When he went out to Peter and he preached, you know, and Peter and them had been fishing all night and hadn't caught a thing. And then Jesus gets in the boat and he preaches. Then he says, launch out into the deep and cast down your nets for the drought. And Peter says, Lord, we done fished all night. There's no fish out there. Nevertheless, at thy word. Peter didn't say, now hold on, Lord. We fished all night. There's nothing out there. Explain to me how you're going to make this happen. See, that's what we do. Explain to me how this is going to happen. Explain me, look, you told me you give me this, you give me a blessing, but would you explain how that's going to come to be? God doesn't do that because he wants you to just trust him. And that's hard on us as humans many times with things that we've got to do in this life. You know, we want to know we can pay our bills because we look at our bank account and we look at the bill and we say, I got the money in there. But I'm going to tell you, friends, I have experienced having the bill and no money, but still believed God was going to help me. Why? Because I had done, like Brother Branham said, I had met every requirement. And I had to trust that God was going to do it. You know, look, every man has to do as God leads him and how God leads you. But I will tell you this, friends. I have walked away from things that seem like, that according to humans' way of thinking, were sure, into uncertainty, but I was sure. You've got to have faith to do that. That's right. Hallelujah. You got to have faith to be able to walk without having everything laid out for you on how it's going to work out. If you know God said do it, then you just do it. Hallelujah. So, Brother Branham said, tell me how that got in there. Show me scientifically how that oil and that meal got in there every day. Brother Branham says this. He says, look, your certainty cannot be based on the shifting sands of your theology. In other words, your certainty, being certain of something, can be based on how your own reasoning on how it's going to be. You've got to be certain that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to be sure that God's going to answer the prayer. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says, many times the gloomy times won't look so gloomy and bad if you will just take his word and be certain that he is God. Get your eyes off of the circumstance. Keep your eyes on the fact that, look, you belong to God. God's going to see to it. Many times what we do, God tells us, I'm going to bless you. Then we want to tell him how he can do it. If God's going to bless you, friends, he wants you to understand that it had nothing to do with what you could do with your hand. It's just pure and simple a blessing. Many times a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, friends, I told you I've been there where I had a bill to pay and didn't have the money to pay it. I gave this testimony many times over the years. And here recently, earlier this year, I don't remember if it was July or April when I was up in Ohio, I gave the testimony again, but this time I told the people who it was, because the brother has then passed on and went to be with the Lord. There was a time that my wife and I, you know, we had a bill that needed to be met, and we didn't have enough money to meet it. A lot of times what people will do is then they'll think, well, what I need to do is I just won't give my tithing. We didn't do that. We said, we're given the tithing whether we can make that bill or not. And so we went to church, put our tithing in, and after the service, a brother came up to me, stuck something in my shirt pocket, and said, the Lord told me to give this to you. And I said, all right, thank you. And then later, because you know you don't want to seem, you know, kind of like imprudent or rude or whatever, so later afterwards, I reached my pocket, pulled it out, and looked at it. It was the exact amount I needed for me and my wife to pay that bill to the penny. You know, many times people write you out a check and they'll say, I'm writing you out a check for $50 here. Maybe your bill was $49.50. This was exact to the penny. It was Brother Herb Keithley. He's done passed away and went on to be with the Lord now. Wonderful brother. It's her grandfather. And or great-grandfather. Her great-grandfather, that's right. And so, you know, but the Lord laid on his heart. He just come over, stuck it in my pocket, and it met it. Look, God can do things, and he wants to do it in a way. And it was a reason that it was wrote out to the exact penny. God wanted me to know he's precise. Hallelujah. When you've done all you can do, and we had done all we could do, we needed help. We didn't try to figure out how God was going to do it. We didn't call up our mom and dad and say, can I borrow some money? That's what we do many times as humans. We try to figure out, how can I do this? I'm going to tell you this, friends. You might not realize, but I'll tell you this, friends. As a minister of God who God has said, go full time into the ministry, I'm going to tell you what, it's constantly trust in God. We don't have no large church. We just got a few here, you know. So I had to trust God. I don't want to get off on another subject here. Hallelujah. God's testing you to trust him. It's not just he tests you and then says, all right, now that you've passed it, you can go back to trusting in yourself. It's a continuous walk. And I'll tell you this, friends, is sometimes you get to thinking that what you've got going on and how you're being took care of, you get to thinking, look what I've done. Uh-oh, look out. Because if you belong to God, God's going to go whoop and pull the rug right out from underneath you and say, what you've done? You know, a lot of people, I'm sorry to jump back on this, but the Lord just put it on. A lot of people got this whole thing about tithes. I pay my tithes. You don't pay nothing. You pay your electric bill. You pay your water bill. You pay your rent. You pay your house payment. But you don't pay God. If that was paying God, then why would God say, if you don't do it, you've robbed him? That's already his. And that's why my wife and I, we were able back then that many years ago to say, look, we're going to give our tithe, and I don't care what else is going on. We're giving that. That belongs to God. That's his to start with. People get so worried about it. It's like they're paying God. You ain't paying God. They get to wondering what happens to them. What's the preacher doing with them? What's going on there? Look, that ain't your business. Your business is obey God's word. Say, but what if? Let God deal with it. It ain't your responsibility. God's money is not your responsibility. It's his. Oh, my goodness. One time somebody made a statement, you know, about me. He said, I don't know about giving my tithe to him feeding them dogs he's got. Well, how do you feed your dogs? I don't know. Just shows you they had the wrong thought to begin with. Now, listen, this isn't a message of unchangeable God. Brother Branham said, the thing is with people is the way God appears. Many times we want to make an idol out of God. Now, how in the world can we make an idol out of God? We ask God to do something. Then he must do it just the way that we asked it, or we'll say he never answered. Let me just stop here a moment. This widow woman, look, she was trusting in God to take care of her, but and she'd ask God to take care of her, but she didn't see how it was going to happen, so she figured, I'm going to die. Must be the will of the Lord, I'm going to die. But when God said the meal barrel will never go to waste and the cruse will never run dry, if she'd have went there the next morning and saw there was only just enough to make one more cake and a meal and oil and that and said, wait a minute, God. Now, the way I want you to do this is I want you to fill up this meal barrel and fill up that crucible oil. That's what Brother Branham's talking about here. God's got to answer it the way we want him to answer it, or we don't believe that he's answered it. He says, when we do that, we weaken our faith in God. Look what he says. We weaken, look. If she would have expected him to fill up the meal barrel and fill up the crucible oil in order for her to say, I believe you're going to take care of me now, then at that point, her faith would be weakened. The next morning, she wouldn't be looking to God for more meal and more oil. She'd say, why do I got to look to God? I got a barrel and a cruse full here. See how we want things to be and how the reality of how God does it? God does it in a way to constantly keep you trusting in him. We think, I'm going to face a situation, I'll pass the situation, and then God will say, all right, fine. From here to the time of the rapture, it's going to be smooth sailing for you in life. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. Look, friends, this is the thing you got to realize. Remember when I read to you that scripture the last couple of times I preached on this, and I said that Paul talks about the who can separate us from the love of God? And I said, and then he talks about, he says who, but then he talks about a bunch of things. Those things had a who behind it. And that's what you got to realize. All these situations and trials and things you go through, there is a who behind it. And I'm going to tell you something about the devil. The devil never wakes up and says, I don't feel like going to work today. The devil never wakes up and says, I think I ain't took a vacation in thousands of years. Think I'll take one out of so-and-so's life today. There's always the devil at work. Every time that I preach, the devil is going to try to snatch the word away as soon as you hear it. Every morning you get up, there's going to be a demon somewhere that's going to try to interrupt your life. Because look what Jesus said. He said he wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the enemy. So he wants to discourage you. He wants to, and friends, look, many times what he does is, you know, many times we think his attack is that it is a right out frontal attack. No, there's times where the devil's attack is to come and get you worried over something. Look, when God showed me, you know, I felt it wasn't God come down and spoke to me audibly. I'd been praying. My wife had been praying. I felt it was the will of God for us to buy that place that we bought out there a little over 20, almost 21 years ago, and built out there and that. But friends, I got to tell you, when God sent me down here, I believed it was God's will, and it didn't seem like anything like that was working out. Well, let me get off on the tangent. But anyway, look, there was many times I faced financial oppositions and a lot of other oppositions with buying that place out there. Many times there was another expense that would come up that wasn't going to be covered in the loan, and I didn't have the cash to take care of it, but I would tell them, I'll give you the cash. I wasn't lying. It wasn't like I was writing them a check I was going to bounce. I'll give you the cash. Just go ahead and go with it. I believe God gave him the place. I knew he was going to provide. Now, many times as humans, we'll start to trample around saying, now, what am I going to do? What can I sell or what can I do to come up with this cash that I've got to have to buy this place? I did not do that. God, I believed it was his will, and I also believed God was going to give that to me. Don't try to figure out how God's going to make it happen. Because I'll tell you this, if you do, you'll get it all messed up. And you'll actually end up robbing yourself of the full blessing that God wants to give you. I know this seems... But remember what I told you, sometimes God lets his preachers go through experience so he can talk to you from experience. Not experience just with experience of things in life, but experience in a walk of faith. Trusting in God and telling you, look, I can assure you, I stand here this morning as a witness of God that he did it. Hallelujah. Now, there was many times I thought I had it all figured out. When I first came down here, I was trying to figure it all out. God sent me here. That means God's got to give me a place to live. My family's still in Ohio. I got to bring my wife and kids down here. I got to have a place to bring them to. I got to figure out how all this is. And I was scrambling. I was doing this. And I thought I had property down here in Fairview, you know, and everything. And then that didn't look like that was going to work out so well. So I got to search around for property. Buddy, if you want signs, you message people want signs, I found 7 acres on Promised Land Road. That wasn't it. You know how we are sometimes, we've been as message people. We're looking for a sign to know this is God's will. We start trying to type things. 7 is the number of God. It was 7 acres. Promised Land Road. Boy, that name was all in the name, boy. It wasn't God's will. I ended up on Plunder's Creek Road. How in the world can you take that name and twist it into some kind of a spiritual sign? Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I got a quote here. Brother Ramsey says, God does stuff strange and peculiar. Hallelujah. Listen to this now. He said, and we weaken our testimony when we won't take him at his word. God always answers. No one ever asked and God not answer. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Everyone that asks will receive. Everyone that seeks shall find. Everyone that knocks, it'll be open to him. Here's the whole thing. You just got to ask him. God wants you to ask him. He doesn't want you to call your buddy on the phone and ask him. He don't want you to go around and take a poll and find out what you should do. He wants you to ask him. And you say, well, then what's he going to tell me? Is he going to tell me how he's going to do it? He'll just say, trust in me. I'll do it. I got this. Look, friends, down here in the South, y'all ought to know that phrase. I got this. God's got it. He will take care of you. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Now, that's the only way I've always found it that I can get anything from God, is to take him at his word and believe it the way he sends it. How am I going to get this from God? Just believe it how he sends it. You know, several years back, first time I was ever going to they said I had to have surgery on my back. You know, the surgeon himself called me on the phone and talked to me personally and said, Mr. Browning, we're going to have to go in there and do surgery on your back. And I said, can I pray about it and call you back? And he said, yeah, you know, because how we are as humans, we're just full of fears, you know. But I went then after I got off the phone, I went into my room. I was home by myself. I went into my bedroom. I knelt down. But I'm going to tell you this, friends, you don't got to kneel down. You don't got to lay down. You don't got to get by your bed. You can talk to God anywhere. But just, you know, out of respect and everything, I was kneeling down and I just began to pray. And you say, well, what did you do? Did you get down and start saying, God, what should I do about this? Nope. I'll be honest with you. I never even said a word to God about should I get surgery on my back or not. God already knew what was on my heart. I just got down and prayed, and I started praying and worshiping the Lord until I felt the presence of God come down. Then I began to pray for different individuals and things, and then I just worshiped the Lord, and all of a sudden a peace just settled down over me. It was a supernatural. It wasn't just an emotional feeling. It was something supernatural, a peace, not something I could feel on my skin or a chill up my back. It was just a peace came to me in my heart. I got back up, went and got the phone. I called the surgeon back, and I said, all right, go ahead and schedule a surgery. It's God's will. I'll have that surgery. You say, what happened? I had the surgery. A few months later, my back was messed up, and I had to get a hold of the doctor. Went back in. They said, it's happened again. We got to do another surgery. And what they were doing was that, what do they call it, decompression surgery, where they clean up where the ruptured disc was and things. And so you say, well, then what happened? That was in 2005. So my second surgery was sometime, I think, like November of 2005. First one was like June of 2005, and then November of 2005, I believe. And then 2008, around June, July of 2008, here I was again. Third time. Say, wait a minute. God gave you peace on the first one. Why didn't God take care of it? It's a walk of faith. When these things happen with you, with illnesses, sicknesses, disease, and things like that, Satan's attacking you. And Satan will come and say, but I thought you said that God had done this or took care of that or God told you this. So I went back to the same surgeon. He said, look, I could buy me a boat off of doing your surgeries. He said, or we can send you over to orthopedic surgeon that I work with. And together, the both of us will perform a surgery on you according to what he says. He said, and this will fix your problem. So I went over to the orthopedic surgeon, and he said, he did the x-rays and MRIs and all that, and he told me, he said, you got a vertebrae that you were born with that wasn't shaped right when you were born. He said, it probably started bothering you about the time you were 18 years old. He was right. He said, now, he said, what's happened is throughout your life, that thing would get out of place, you'd get it back in place, and then it would stay in place a while, come back out, and you'd have a problem. He says, but what's happening is that bone now has wore away where there's nothing left to hold it in place, and that's why this disc keeps rupturing. He says, so what we got to do is we go in and infuse it. So anyway, he told me what all he had to do in the surgery and everything. He said, we'll work with the neurosurgeon, and we'll get this fixed up and take care of. Friends, look, I know a lot of people that have had back problems and that, and some of them say they still suffer and all that. I've got some arthritis, but other than that, I'm fine. Now, one time a sister came to me and said, look, I had what you had, but God healed me, but I was afraid to give the testimony because, you know, God healed me and you had to have the surgery. Look, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I told her, go ahead and give the testimony, sister. Look, God healed me too. He just works things in different ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows how to work out things in our lives. He knows what he's doing. Listen to that. Now, the only way that I've always found that I can get anything from God is take him at his word and believe it the way he sends it. If we don't take it just the way that we think it is, we've built God as an idol. He's got to answer just according to our ways, or we'll say, it's no good, he didn't answer us. And when we do that, Brother Ram says, you've made God an idol. Now, what is an idol? It's just something that's dead, that has no power. Look, friends, when God's working on something in your life, even bringing a blessing to you, while God's in the process of bringing that blessing, he's also still working on your character. So he's not going to make the road look easy getting to that blessing all the time. Because he's working on your character. Because look, anything God wants to give you in this life, that's not the finality of it. You understand what I'm saying? How many times have I told you this life is fleeting and passing? Many times we get so fixated on what God's going to do for us in this life. God said, I'm going to take care of you in this life. But why I'm going to do it this way, because that's not my end goal. My end goal isn't just to give you a home here. My end goal isn't just to provide this need you have here in this world. My end goal is to take you out of this world. So while I'm providing for that need, I'm getting you ready to leave here. Amen. Hallelujah. God answers in many ways. The answer is in, he answers in peculiar ways. He answers in peculiar ways, times, and everything is odd. Why did you do it that way, God? God's got his ways of doing things. And I'll tell you something, friends. Look, you're not only part just yourself here and God working out something for you. But while God's working out something for you, he's working out something for you and your family. And while God's working out something for you and your family, God's working out something in your family, and that for you and your family that's part of this body of believers, family of God here. And believe it or not, you say, well, I've never been nowhere else but here. God's also working out things for you here in a way it's going to affect his believers plumb around the other side of the world. You say, how is that going to happen? Because preachers share. When preachers go overseas to preach another place than that, they share testimonies. When I go over there and I come back here, I share testimonies from there. I share testimonies from my own life almost every time I preach. I'm not giving you this stuff, from book learning, so to speak. You know, it's not an education. It's not what I learned in some school somewhere. When John the Baptist come, John the Baptist didn't go to seminary. He went on the backside of the desert. He went out in the wilderness. But he knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What time is it? Okay, I got to hurry and close here. When God remains silent, that's when you've got to be sure and certain, look, he's God and he's got it in control. There's times when you pray, you ask God, and he don't say nothing. But you know what many times we want? Because we know God's not going to come down and speak to us in an audible voice, you know, out of the sky somewhere. But many times God does speak to us in the voice of a man that he's anointed to speak through. But then there's times, friends, that God don't say nothing. He just wants you to be certain of his word. He's God. He said he would take care of you. Then he's going to take care of you. My dad often gave a testimony about me, and I'm not saying it's to lift myself up, but it's just something the way my dad had. My dad actually instilled this into me. My dad taught me this. I would ask my dad for something when I was a little boy growing up. I'd ask him for something. Now, if it was something that wasn't worth 2 cents, my dad would just tell me that's junk and I'm not going to get that. But if I asked my dad for something, my dad would say, and if he told me, I'm going to get it for you, then I knew he was going to get it for me because he said he was. Dad often said, he said, you never ever come back to me and saying, Dad, you said you're going to get this for me. He said, you never asked me again. He said, you just never said no more about it. He said, then when I could, because, you know, things were financially different back then. And that, you know, of course, sometimes now they're bad. But, you know, he said, when he would tell me he's going to get something, I never mentioned again. And why was that? Because when my dad told me, he always did it. No matter what my dad told me, he always kept his word. It wasn't just for the keeping his word for the things where I asked him and he said he'd give it to me. If my dad said, you're going to get it when we get home, when I got home, I got it. My dad was a man of his word. You know how you are as kids if your parents tell you, boy, when we get home, boy, you're going to get it. Well, you kind of hope they forget about it when they get home, you know. My dad didn't. But look, friends, that taught me something. If he told me something, he was going to do something, he always did it. I could believe him and trust his word. And God's told us, friends, he'll not leave us comfortless. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He has told us he will correct us when we need correction. He has told us he will guide us. He's told us he will feed us. He will take care of us. He doesn't need to keep coming back time and time again, even though he does, and telling us, I told you, I'd do this. Brother Branham says this, you know, many times we say, God's obligated to keep his word. Brother, listen to what Brother Branham says here. It's in the message of Be Certain of God. He said, his word has to be true. He's required you to meet these circumstances, and you did. He's obligated to take care of his word. Don't back off. He says, but if everything's confessed and everything's out, you met God's requirement, faith holds there. There's nothing will move it. He is, and you're sure. But God's obligated to bring your faith to a showdown. God, you're obligated to take care of me. You're obligated to see that I'm good. And God says, I'm also obligated to bring your faith to a showdown. I am obligated to make sure your faith in me is exercised in your life. Now, friends, to exercise faith isn't, well, I see how it's all going to be, so now I believe it. An exercise of faith is stepping out, as it says in Hebrews 11, Abraham went not knowing whether he went, but God had told him to go. Sometimes God will make promises to you that's about you, but actually you end up leaving this life before that promise is ever even fulfilled. He promised Abraham, your seed shall be greater than the sands that you see here, greater than the stars. Abraham never lived to see it, but that was God's promise. The only thing God promised Abraham he would see was, you're going to see this son that I promised you. And then from that son, these things are going to happen. My grandfather Browning, he came to the Lord in 1974, 73, something like that. I kind of can't get the date straight in my mind right now, but let's see. I think he was baptized September 1974. So he came to the Lord, and so he lived about 7 months after he came and accepted this message and dedicated his life to God. But during that time, he spent, I got a picture in my office where he was at one of the homes of one of his children, and he's witnessing to him about the end time message. And one of them snapped the picture, and he's kind of sitting there like this talking to him. And he witnessed to him in that. And so his prayer was that God would open their eyes and show them this end time truth. Well, he only lived 7 months and the Lord took him home. I haven't figured this up. So years and years later, after my grandfather had passed away, my grandmother was actually in a nursing home. One of her daughters, Linda, began to go over and said, Mom, I'll pick you up from the nursing home. I'll take you to church. And so my grandmother said, well, I only go to Jim's church, talking about my dad, who was alive at that time. And so she said, that's fine. I'll take you over to Jim's church. So they came, and they were there. And actually, my brother was actually the pastor by that time, and so he was doing the majority of the preaching. And so she came and began to hear then the word of the Lord. And there was things she began to catch that was being preached and said. And so she got to thinking about it, and she went back home, and she dug down in the bottom drawer of her dresser underneath stuff she had in there, and on the very bottom, she pulled out some spoken word books. And she got them out and started to look at those. She realized what she was hearing preached was right there, and she said, Daddy, this is what you tried to tell me all them years ago. And she gave her heart to the Lord. She accepted the end time truth. She was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the rest of her life, she lived it, believing this end time truth. She just passed away back, the beginning of April there, end of March. My grandfather never saw that word come to manifest in his lifetime, but he believed it. and God brought it to pass. God will answer. But it ain't always according to the way we think it should be. You just got to trust God. God, I've laid this now in your hands. However you do it. I'm going to stop. Look, faith, if you've got faith, you will stop trying to figure it out. When the devil comes to you with some kind of an idea or a thought, all he's trying to do is try to discourage you, trying to steal the word of God away from you, trying to destroy you. You will say, nope, I am not giving in to that thought. I am not. I refuse to try to figure this out. I'm just going to walk as God tells me to walk. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says this. He says, and be certain of God, said, isn't it strange how God lets his children get right down to the last moment? And he referred to that widow woman on how that she got down that she only had one cake left. And God let her get down to the very last bit of meal and oil for one more cake. And then God said, now you give it to me first. And then go make you one. The Hebrew children. You talk about getting down to the last moment. They got in the fire, friends. They was thrown right into the fire before God came on the scene. Hallelujah. Isn't it strange how God lets his children get right down to the last moment? Oh, sometimes he permits that to see your reactions. And when we realize that we've reacted wrong, what do we need to do, Brother Jerry? We just need to repent. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, God. Hallelujah. Sometimes God delays his answer, Brother Branham says. He's just wanting to see how you're going to react. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let me close with this final thing. And I apologize, especially you visitors. I don't usually preach this long. But here, this Brother Branham talks about this painting. You've heard it over and over again. And I know in this day and age, we get all kinds of people that they're always worried about, was Brother Branham telling this right or telling that right and all this. Look, don't worry about them. They're unbelievers anyway. You know. But here's the thing. There actually is a German painting, and this is the correct name. I looked it up before I come out. It's called Cloud Lane. German painting, Cloud Lane. You can look it up. And this painting, it looks all messed up, gloomy, like a cloud and everything, you know. All looking all dark. It looks just all kinds of mess. You can look this up, too. See what it looks like. One of these days we're going to get a projector and I'll be able to show it to you. But Brother Benham talks about that painting. And he says when you get up close to it, and it says this online too. This is actually what it says online. It says, in a German art gallery there's a painting hanging called Cloud Lane. It hangs at the end of a long dark hall. On first glance, it appears to be nothing more than a huge, ugly mass of confused color that is foreboding. However, the closer that one gets to the painting, there is portrayed on the canvas an innumerable company of angels. How often men are tempted to run when trials begin to have free course in their lives. Yet looking through the eyes of faith, men often find that it's ministering spirits that are sent from heaven to help them through the difficult times of life. Hallelujah. Brother Branham talks about this painting, and he says many times, he says, when you get close, you find out this all gloomy, dark situation, how everything looks, really ain't as gloomy as what you think. He says, it's just blessings in disguisement. Sometimes God's told you, I'm going to give you this. But then it looks like you can't figure out how he's going to do it, how it's going to happen, how am I going to make this work. And Satan gets you worried. And Satan says, you know, look, you don't want to owe nothing. You want to do this free and clear. You know, you want to have, let's figure this out. Let's do this. Let's do that. God's allowing that. It's actually a blessing. It's just disguised as a trial. Because it's a trial to see if you'll trust God. Look, if God said he's giving you something or God's going to do something, then you've just got to trust him to do it however he has planned to do it. And if you will, I guarantee you, you'll get the full blessing that God's got for you. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. Lord, I know I went just a few minutes over it, dear God, just wanting to get this down, Lord, because I felt, Lord, how you lead me on in this subject, Lord, on further. Lord, for our next service, I pray, Lord, that you'll continue and be with us. Speak to us today, dear God, I pray. Speak to us. Continue to speak to us, Lord. I pray, God, may we take what's been preached today. Not just hold it dear to our heart as good words that's been said, but may, God, we take action upon your word. May, Lord, if we really believe it, we'll act on it. Lord, let us take action on this, dear God. Trust you, Lord, for our loved ones, God, that we would love to see come in. Lord, many times we think, Lord, if I could just have what I needed to say, just say the right thing, and they'd turn around and come in. Look, Lord, sometimes it ain't always about what we got to say. Lord, you're the one that actually can speak to their heart. Most of the time, all we do is speak to people's ears that don't even listen. But, Lord, you know how to get our attention. You know how to get your children's attention. You know how to get them to listen. And, Lord, sometimes you got to turn us upside down, fall flat on our face, the world completely, everything fall out from underneath us. Sometimes as humans, to get our attention so we'll listen. But, Lord, if we belong to you, you're willing to do whatever it takes. So I heard one preacher say, if you belong to God, well, we can come easy or we can come hard, but we're coming. Lord, you'll do it. We just got to trust you. Our loved ones, our children, the different ones, Lord, we just got to trust you, Lord. Leave it in your hands, dear God. What's your will? Who belongs to you? We don't know, but you do, Lord. Lord, don't allow the devil to get us so tore up and distracted over things where it just gets us so tore up, Lord. We just got to trust in you. Bless your people today. Bless them, God, with whatever the remainder part of their day might be. Dear God, bless them in it. God, bless your word in their hearts. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.